Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with Orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A special edition of the Christian Research Institute's Bible Answer Man broadcast today. We're going to be hosting Joe Dallas. I'll be introducing him in just a moment. But I want to start out by commenting on what happened at a Missouri high school last year when a 17-year-old transgender student, anatomically male but female identified, demanded to shower with the girls, saying, "I am a girl. I'm not going to be pushed away to another bathroom." Of course, the girl showering next to another naked person who identifies as female, but in reality has male sexual organs, is likely to feel violated, not by the person, but as Joe Dallas points out, by the experience of being forced to shower with such a person. And yet many, including the governor of South Carolina, Nikki Haley, and the conservative commentator, you see him on Fox all the time, Charles Krauthammer, speak of these things as though they are merely fabricated problems. Not only that, but cultural icons like Bruce Springsteen, Ringo Starr, others, they classify objections to gender-specific bathrooms as hatred. Society is now being taught not only to reject biblical directives regarding sex and gender, but to view such directives as evidence, proof positive, evidence of hatred, and of course those who promote them as peddlers of bigotry. And so in the cover article of the Christian Research Journal, again it's titled "Of Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs," Joe Dallas contends that this is anything but a fabricated crisis, and that what is involved in all of this is a violation of safety. It's a violation of common sense, in that castration combined with injections and implants does not in reality turn a male into a female, and it's a violation of religious liberty. Joe Dallas is the program director of Genesis Counseling, Tustin, California. This is a Christian counseling service to men dealing with sexual addiction, with homosexuality, other sexual relational problems. He's written many books, including A Strong Delusion and the forthcoming, can't wait, the forthcoming book titled Speaking of Homosexuality. Joe joins us on the broadcast. As always, Joe, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Hank. Good being with you.
I love the epigraph that you start the cover story with. It's by Rod Dreher, and it basically says, it's kind of astonishing, actually, how quickly what was considered unspeakably radical the day before yesterday becomes normalized the next day, and today any opposition to it is treated as if it could only come from irrational animus. And that's the world in which we live in today.
I think so, Hank. There's a false presumption that any form of progress is good. If we are going in a direction, any opposition to that direction must be coming from either hate or ignorance or fear or some kind of a reactionary mindset. It's not a very logical assumption if you think about it. After all, the fact someone is going in a direction is hardly proof that they are going in the right direction. But nonetheless, because the move towards blurring the genders has picked up a lot of momentum, especially in this past year, it really is pretty much the new gay rights focal point issue. Since same-sex marriage was achieved last year, why then oppositions to this, no matter how reasonably they are put, are now being seen as just the typical ignorant rantings of people who can't handle progress, even though to, I think, a high percentage of Americans, not to mention a high percentage of believers, this really seems like madness, this attempt to basically say our sex, our given sex, is a very fluid thing. It can be changed at will, and therefore the individual should be able to dictate which sex she or he is. And then, and this is what is causing so much tension today, Hank, there is a demand that all other people interacting with that individual conform to that individual's perception of his or her sex. That's where I think the controversies are really boiling.
You know, another article in the special edition of the Christian Research Journal that I referenced at the top of the show by Joe Dallas is titled, "Is Gay Christian an Acceptable Identity?" This is highly relevant in that, among other things, Christian publishers like Waterbrook Multnomah are pushing a pro-gay a reinterpretation of the Bible. Joe, you say the term gay Christian imposes a positive slant on what Christian, on what the Christian scriptures refer to as only in the negative.
Well, it reminds me of other terms people use to neutralize or even sanitize sexual sin. Hank, the term player, that sounds like a very positive term, a player, you know, but really it's often used to refer to a promiscuous man or a swinger. That's a positive term, but it really is usually applied to someone who is married and engages in extramarital sex. And the same is true of the term gay. Gay is inherently a positive thing. As a word, it means happy, it means carefree and light. And so to put a positive term on feelings or behaviors that are biblically prohibited is a misuse of both the term and the scripture. In fact, I believe in the article you mentioned, I wrote about the night I spoke at a conference and a young man came up to me after the conference and said, "I really appreciate what you said. I'm a Christian and I try to maintain my integrity. And I'm a boy lover. I am attracted to boys, but I know that it would be wrong to give in to that attraction, so I don't, but I'm a boy lover." And what astounded me was that while on the one hand I was glad, of course, he abstained from expressing those feelings. He knew it would be wrong to have sex with children, but he was putting a positive spin on feelings that we could only call sinful and very, very unfortunate. And when we baptize something which is inherently unnatural in positive terms, that is going to affect the way we view that thing eventually, and it's a misrepresentation of the thing itself.
Interesting. When you mention that the Bible condemns certain behaviors, it reminds me of an article I wrote in this edition of the Christian Research Journal as well, and I addressed the question, does its condemnation of homosexuality demonstrate that the Bible is antiquated? And the reason I did that is because a popular sentiment today is that the Bible is increasingly irrelevant in a modern age of scientific enlightenment, and thus when the biblical condemnation of homosexuality is referenced, it's not uncommon to see expressions of polite exasperation etched on the faces of the masses, because the Bible not only condemns homosexuality, but also clearly teaches that Sabbath breakers, as Obama has pointed out, must be put to death. So the Bible's out of vogue. It is no longer enlightened, and therefore, for you to say the Bible condemns such a practice doesn't hold much weight.
Well, I would actually agree that if you don't believe the Bible is inspired by God, who is all-knowing, past, present, and future, then I think it would make sense to view it as just another antiquated document which may contain truth or may contain errors. But you can't have it both ways. Hank, a number of people who use the argument you just used will turn around and say, oh, but of course the Bible is the Word of God. Well, no. It either is or it is not. If it is the Word of God, it means it is God-inspired. And if God inspired it, God surely understood everything before the world was created about human sexuality. He understands the human experience. And so prohibitions that he placed in that inspired document, in both testaments, by the way, reaffirmed in both testaments, prohibitions against a number of behaviors that are ultimately not in our best interest, are, of course, relevant if they were given by the person who created us. I think it all gets back to the question, which is twofold. Do we have a creator, and did that creator inspire this document we call the Bible? If the answer to both of those is yes, then of course what it says is relevant to us today and hardly antiquated.
Dr. Joe Dallas, he's Program Director of Genesis Counseling, Tustin, California. This is a Christian counseling service to men dealing with sexual addiction, homosexuality, and other sexual relational problems. And I will say, without equivocation, that there's no one on the planet that understands this problem better, this issue better, and deals with it more charitably. Joe, getting back to the debate at hand, you wrote the article of Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs. This debate is considered to be so often merely a debate about toilets, but you say it's much more than that. It's a referendum on transsexualism itself.
Sure it is, because the real question it raises is, are we able to decide for ourselves whether we are male or female based on what we feel as opposed to what our anatomy testifies itself to? That is a key question in all of this, is do we really have that ability? And then, of course, if we have that ability, do we have the right to thereby impose our self-perception on other individuals? And I think that this argument we are having as a country is really based on that question. We are now viewing as subjective what we traditionally have assumed is objective. You are born either male or female. As you know, Hank, the very first thing said about you was your sex. When you came out of the womb, the doctor didn't say it's a human. And the doctor didn't say wait until the child grows and the child will let you know what it is. The doctor took a look at a strategic part of the anatomy and said, ah, it's a boy. And there are real profound ramifications to that, because what is the first critical thing we see God say about humanity when Adam was created? It's not good for him to be alone. There is a completion which needs to occur here. I am aware of what is best designed to meet his need for partnership and to form the family unit. And therefore a woman was created. And so to be human is to be sexual, and to be sexual is to be either male or female. There's not a curtain number three. It's an assignment. It is not a choice. And as creatures who've been assigned the sex of male or female, what we've been assigned should be celebrated and embraced. Now, you and I and all of our listeners, I hope, Hank, will feel a tremendous compassion for anybody who literally feels trapped in the same body. I mean, this stuff is no joke. The transsexual person is a person who has gone through a heck of a lot of torture internally, because that individual, usually for years and years, has really felt a disconnect between the body she or he has and the person she or he really feels that she or he is. And that has got to be an agonizing experience. And good grief, people would not go to all these extremes they go to, the body reconfiguration, the hormones, the castration, the basic restructuring. They wouldn't go through all of that unless something very strong was compelling them to do it. So we certainly shouldn't minimize the seriousness of the condition. But that doesn't mean we can call it anything other than a condition. If I am telling you I am something which I verifiably am not, then the problem is what I am telling you, not what I really am. And what we need to change is my perception of myself and recognize that as the problem, not the self, which I really am.
Dr. Joe Dallas, we're going to come back from the break and discuss the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history, the Orlando Massacre. This is the perfect storm. It puts us at the intersection of what is called Islamophobia and homophobia. We're told that Islam is a religion of peace, and we're told that homosexuality is a completely normal and acceptable behavior. And those who oppose it are, therefore, by definition, bigots. We'll be talking about all that and much, much more with Joe Dallas, also taking your calls on this issue. You can dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265, and we'll be right back.
The award-winning Christian Research Journal is an essential tool for your apologetics arsenal, equipping you in doctrine, defense of the faith, and discernment. Cutting-edge articles in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal include Of Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs, as well as Is Gay Christian an Acceptable Identity?, both by Joe Dallas. Other topics include Why Biologists Tend to Make Bad Ethicists, a pro-life response to atheist P.Z. Myers, The Embodiment of Heroism Manifest in Christ, Millennials and Apologetics, and much more. Stand with CRI, and as our thanks for your gift, receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Should people who feel they belong to a particular gender be allowed to use public bathrooms restricted to that gender, even if their birth certificate states they belong to the opposite gender? Through recent legislation, some states are answering yes, while others are answering no. Christians must determine how they should respond to this controversy. Other topics include, is gay Christian an acceptable identity? Why biologists tend to make bad ethicists, and much more. Stand with the Christian Research Institute. And as our thanks for your gift, receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Life and truth are under assault in America in ways that would have been impossible to imagine, even a few decades ago. Yet Hank Hanegraaff observes the fundamental problem is not pagans doing what comes naturally to a fallen human nature, but Christians failing to do what comes supernaturally to those with redeemed minds and sanctified wills. Our culture is in freefall because Christians have failed to think and to live Christianly. Make a difference and stand with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, as mentioned all this month, the Christian Research Journal, a special edition out right now, covers story of bathroom bills and basic beliefs. I'm talking to the author, Joe Dallas. Joe is an expert on this subject. He's the program director of Genesis Counseling, Tustin, California. This is a Christian counseling service to men dealing with sexual addiction, homosexuality, and other sexual relational problems. He's written many books. We recommend every one of them. You can find them on the web at equip.org. And it's always a pleasure to have Joe on the air. He knows what he's talking about, but I think more important than even his message is the manner in which he conveys the message. Joe, talking about a sensitive subject, we have the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history, referred to as the Orlando Massacre now. But this does put us in a perfect storm. We're at the intersection of Islamophobia and homophobia because many people are communicating a narrative with respect to Islam that Islam is a religion of peace. On the other hand, people are saying that homosexuality is a perfectly viable lifestyle, and those who oppose it are, by virtue of that, hate-filled people, bigots, people who are not enlightened, people who simply don't know what they're talking about. Address this dreadful situation. Give us some enlightenment.
It's hard to believe, Hank. It's like we're in the middle of some warped tragedy where people are rewriting the heroes and villains as we speak and reassigning everyone's roles. We've got the tragedy itself. 49 people, most of them young men, very young men. Hank, I don't know if you saw the ages, but these were mostly guys in their 20s, were cut short. And right now, as we speak, families are in an agony. Most of us are thank God, never going to have to even think about. But there it is. I mean, this is horrendous what these people are going through. And there's, of course, the wounded. There are people still recovering, thank God, who survived it, but are still seriously injured. We've got the threat of future attacks. We don't know. I mean, one of the horrible things about this is the realization that more and more people, usually young men, are being radicalized, whether or not they even have official ties to ISIS or Al-Qaeda. Why they have access to the information, and that alone radicalizes them and inspires them to randomly commit these insane attacks that could happen anywhere, anytime. That's the times we're in, and we're having to deal with that. We do have some errors coming from the pulpit. There are actually preachers, pastors, who are saying this was a good thing, that these people deserved to die and that they're glad it happened. And then, of course, we have the scapegoating coming from the culture. More and more people saying that Christianity, a literal and a high view of Scripture, encourages people to commit acts of violence against homosexuals. And as you say, that's a perfect storm, because as we are softening the face of Islam to make it look like a religion of peace, and concurrently legitimizing homosexuality and then at the same time demonizing Christianity, we are putting the blame for all of this evil where it does not belong and ignoring the problem which continues to grow. So it is a time when up is down and black is white. It's horrendous.
Just to follow up on that, homosexuality is now normalized in our society to a large degree. To suggest otherwise is to risk inculcating in safe same-sex attracted individuals an internalized homophobia, we're told. So this is the inculcation of internalized homophobia, and I think a lot of people, when they read about that, there is immediately that sense of guilt. If I say something, I might lead to this pathology, and I might be responsible for the problem. Talk about internalized homophobia.
Yes, and in fact, of course, we're still learning what motivated this, and if indeed we're ever going to really understand what motivated this man to do what he did. But there is at least some suggestion and some evidence that he may himself have wrestled with homosexual desires. And if that turns out to be the case, if that can be proven, then many people are going to say, aha, you see, this is what happens when you belong to a belief system which condemns homosexuality. If you yourself are homosexual, you will feel as though you are a hateful person, that you're scum, that you're rejected by God and rejected by your church or by your temple or by your mosque, and you will learn to hate yourself, and thereby you will also learn to hate all gay people, and this is what happens. And that is almost certainly the narrative we're going to get if it turns out that he dealt with that. But in all fairness, Hank, homophobia is a very unfairly used term to describe anyone who simply believes that the male-female union is normative and that anything apart from that is inherently abnormal. Now, that's not a phobia. It's a very simple belief. And you used the word credulous earlier, and I think that's an important term, Hank, because it describes where we are as a culture. We believe things easily. If somebody says it often enough, we come to assume that it is true just because of the frequency and the volume with which it is said. We don't check things out for ourselves. And because for decades now people have been told that objections to homosexuality are based on homophobia and homophobia is a very damaging thing, there is a growing sentiment, and to an extent even within the church, a growing sentiment that holding the biblical viewpoint on homosexuality is to hold a viewpoint similar to what racists held back before we had civil rights and when it was culturally acceptable to believe one race is superior to another.
A lot of people looking forward to talking to you. Again, I'm talking to Joe Dallas, Program Director of Genesis Counseling. The number to dial to get your question directly to Joe, 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. You can call all this hour as well as the upcoming hour. We're going to stay right where we are for another hour. I'll record Joe's answers to your questions. We'll play that on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. First up, Ben. He's listening in Canada, in Regina, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
You're on with Joe.
Perfect. I had one question regarding the current homosexuality debate, and then maybe another kind of pragmatic or practical follow-up for Joe specifically. But it's funny you should talk about the movement that a lot of pastors are getting into and moving towards kind of becoming gay-affirming. There's actually a church in our city on Father's Day. They're having a brunch held by, like, the Regina City Pride group. So we kind of know, like, it's the brunch is titled, How Does the Bible Relate to Homosexuality? And we kind of know where it's going to go. So we want to be prepared for young adults. But one of the latest arguments that I've found is, as some of these Christians, we want to hold to Scripture. But I think there's a lot of Christians that want to affirm gays in their lifestyle. So one of the new arguments I've seen is that what God is concerned with in the New Testament is not gay monogamous relationships, but the pedophilia, the rape, and the promiscuity that went along with homosexuality back then. And so the question I have is, how do you guys respond to that? Do you simply respond to, with a biblical argument or with an anthropological argument as well? So,
Ben, I would respond with a biblical argument because it is a biblical argument that is being posed, or which is being posed, the argument being that God was not concerning himself with adult-to-adult homosexual relationships, but rather Paul was under inspiration referring to pedophilia or exploitive adult-child relationships. A couple of points on that from a biblical perspective. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10, and 1 Timothy 1, 10, Paul uses a Greek term which he coined, arsenokoite, which is the Greek translation of the Levitical prohibitions against male-to-male, adult-to-adult homosexuality. So clearly he was describing adult-to-adult homosexual relationships. In the book of Romans, there is nothing in his description of homosexuality suggesting children were involved. The word he used when he said men were burning in lust for other men is a term specifically arsane, meaning males, not children. There were terms for boys or children or even youth that he could have used, and he did not use them. So in the original language, there is really no ambiguity about it. Paul is referring to adult relationships, besides all of which, I don't think an argument from silence is always the most powerful argument, but why is no distinction made? When Paul distinguishes between heterosexual sin and legitimate heterosexual relations, he makes it clear that sex within marriage between man and wife is a good thing, and that sex between a man and a woman outside of marriage is a bad thing. Well, if he meant to make a distinction like that with homosexuality, why didn't he? Why were there not, in addition to his condemnations of homosexuality, also verses saying, but if you are two homosexual men or women in a loving monogamous relationship, this is how you should conduct yourself. There's nothing there. There are only negative references to homosexuality, no positive guidance verses for same-sex couples. And, of course, if the Bible were not God-inspired, perhaps that would make sense, but surely God has always loved lesbian and gay people. If he condoned a lesbian or a gay partnership, why was he so negligent as to not give them any direction whatsoever in the entirety of Scripture? That makes no sense. So I think those arguments can be rebutted with a biblical argument because they are arguments raised which are, like I said, biblical in nature themselves.
By the way, Joe has dealt with many of these questions in the books that I alluded to earlier. You can find them on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants as well, standing by 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Again, we're taking your calls for Joe Dallas on the issues of human sexuality. This is in the forefront of the cultural debates, and we need to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. A special edition of the Christian Research Journal. It is available for those who support the ministry. This is the end of our fiscal year. We need many of you to join the monthly CRI support team to support the ministry this month. We cannot do what we do without you. We're asking you to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Back in just a few moments with more of Joe Dallas. He is an expert on the subject of human sexuality. What he says really will make a difference for time and for eternity. Please don't touch that dial.
As the erosion of truth and hostility against Christians continues to gain momentum, Christians must stand together for life and truth, no matter the cost. Stand together with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to CRI, simply call 888-7000-CRI. and support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. As the culture shifts toward condoning behaviors it once condemned, so does its language. Yet Christians must resist reframing immorality in positive terms. Is gay Christian an acceptable identity? Other topics include of bathroom bills and basic beliefs, the embodiment of heroism manifest in Christ, thought for food, the genetic fallacy, why accept the Pythagorean theorem, and much more. Stand with CRI during the month of June, and as our thanks for your gift, receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. It's only by the grace of God and the partnership of friends like you that enable the Christian Research Institute to combat the assaults on truth and Christian values that followers of Christ experience daily through a growing deluge of media channels. Stand with CRI during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or visit online at equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a reminder for those calling in that if I don't get to you in this segment of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Joe and I are going to stay here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, continue taking your calls, and we'll record Joe's answers to your questions and play that on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, now and for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Also, a reminder that this is the end of our fiscal year, and we're asking people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. We take stands that are not politically correct, and Joe can probably attest to this as much as anyone else. When you do that, there's always a price to pay. And so for those who love the ring of truth, we're simply asking you to stand with us in this battle for life and truth. There is not a more crucial time in history. If Christians do what Christians are designed to do, which is to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, we can as yet turn the tide of culture. You say it seems impossible, but think about what the early Christians did in the epicenter of a Caesar cult, and immediately you realize that one with God is a majority. Again, we're talking to Joe Dallas. He's Program Director of Genesis Counseling, Tustin, California, and he is an expert on human sexuality. And you know, when we think about this, Joe, in a macro sense, we're talking about an issue here that is foundational to all of civilization.
It really is, Hank, because we are talking not only about human sexuality, as in sexual passions and desires, but we're talking about the family unit. We're talking about the definition of the family. We're talking about the sanctity of the family. We're talking about the proper use of sexual energy. We're talking about the confusion that results when you tamper either with the union God intended the marital relationship to be, or the individual's identification as male or female. And if I can go off on a bit of a tangent, if I hated humanity, as Satan does, if I wanted to break the heart of God who created humanity, and if I wanted to distort humanity's ability to live out what God intended us to have for our own benefit, this is exactly what I would do. I would tamper with the most delicate and most profound of human relationships, the sexual relationship. I would tamper with gender identity. I would tamper with sexual desires. I would do all I could to persuade people that the parameters the Creator designed are imprisoning them rather than protecting them. And I would create as much confusion in that way as I could, and thereby rob the nuclear family of its cohesion. It would rob the parental unit of its sense of responsibility. Of course, the less you have, the solid family foundation, the less you have the man or the woman taking a protective, unique view of the family unit and working hard to preserve it and protect it. And that, of course, then tampers with the very stability of the civilization. So, hey, I certainly don't believe homosexuality is a demon. I certainly don't believe that homosexuals are a bunch of devil worshipers. And, Hank, as you know, I was involved in that behavior myself for a number of years and identified myself very strongly with it back in the 70s and the early 80s. But I do think that behind all of it, we see a spiritual context. The thief comes to rob and to kill and to destroy, and that includes the destruction of what God created as precious and really as a gift to humanity. And as I said, if I were him, I'd do the same thing.
I want you to elaborate on something that you said in the Christian Research Journal. Of course, we're talking about the cover story of bathroom bills and basic beliefs. But you say we have embarked on a gigantic social experiment without any idea about how the next generation is going to be affected.
Well, we've done it before, haven't we? We did that with divorce when we decided that children might not be damaged if mom and dad split up. We thought it was humane to introduce no-fault divorce bills and make it very easy for people to bail on their marriage vows. We did that in the late 60s, early 70s, and it sounded like a humane thing to do for the sake of the parents who were unhappy with the parameters of marriage and marital vows. Now, all these decades later, we're going, oops. But it's a little late for oops. We've conducted a similar experiment on the definition of marriage itself, haven't we? When we basically, as a nation, told the Creator that he didn't know really what he was doing when he created the male-female union and called it good. And we've yet to see what the outcome of that will be. And we certainly are, I think we're already reaping the whirlwind, Hank, when it comes to gender identity. For heaven's sake, Facebook has, 50-some-odd different gender identities you can now choose. which includes an identification as someone who is part human, part animal, part spirit, part human, male at some times, female at others. Now, you cannot introduce that much confusion into a person's basic identity without creating ginormous confusion within the system and the culture itself. So I don't like to think of where we're going to be a decade from now if these trends continue, and unfortunately I see nothing telling me that they won't continue.
Dr. Joe Dallas, a special edition of the Christian Research Journal. He wrote the cover article, and it is available for your support at the ministry all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. Denison, listening in Virginia on WJYK. Hi, Denison. You're on with Joe.
Hello. How are you?
Your question.
Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah. Quickly, your question.
Yes. The Bible is real clear in this language. It, you know, it says, and you know, it would be like in the last days, men with men, women with women, doing that which was unseemly natural in the flesh, and God had given them over to their own burning lust. And I think that's what we got is demonic powers here fighting. I personally think that God loves all gay people and loves and wants them to come to the saving grace of knowledge of His mercy and His love. Because that's what it is, you know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that is extended to each and every one of us, whether we're in error or pros of any way. And that, with that, I thank you.
Is there a question there, Denison?
Yes, it was just simply the fact that, you know, is it not a biological fact that, you know, men have one less rib than women, which would substantiate God's created? He said, let us create men in our own image. You know, men, you know, want a woman to have as a companion company. And he said, be fruitful and multiply. Now, I've never heard of Adam and Steve multiplying or Eve or Barbara.
Joe, your comment.
Well, I do think the distinction goes a little lower than the rib cage, but I think that the evidence, I think your main point is the evidence is self-explanatory, and I fully agree with you, both anatomically and emotionally. I think the contrast between men and women is beautiful. I think the union of the male and female is not only in the best interest of humanity, but also is a proper representation of the image of God, and so for all of those reasons, I would simply agree, in essence, with what you're saying.
Up next, Charles, he's listening in Nashville, Tennessee. You're on with Joe Dallas.
Yes, this is Charles. He said to make sure you could hear me because I was in a low volume area.
Well, I can hear you.
Okay. You mentioned earlier, and I was getting out of my truck. You said somebody asked about the term gay Christian, and didn't fully hear how you explained. I thought I understood you to say it was negative.
I believe the question was along the line of when Hank and I were discussing the term gay Christian, and I was saying I do not believe it is a legitimate term because I think it puts a positive meaning onto something which is biblically prohibited.
So because of the biblical definition of homosexuality as an abomination or as an unnatural act?
Based on, yes, the definition biblically of homosexuality as being one of many sexual behaviors that fall short of what God intended. So for the same reason, I would not put a positive spin on any term for fornication or adultery or prostitution. I think that that they should be called by what they are. They are behaviors that fall short of what God intended, and I don't believe a positive slant should be put on any of them, homosexuality included.
Okay. So how about the term obese Christian, which is one of the abominations, you know, unless if they have some organic reason they can't be natural size. What about an obese Christian?
Well, obese is not a positive term. I actually would not have a problem with that. I don't think it would be a good identifying term, as in I don't see a reason for someone to say, hello, my name is Tom, I'm an obese Christian. But the fact is, obese is not a positive term. It's an accurate term for a physical condition. And so, for example, if we took it to any number of other behaviors, an ill-tempered Christian, a depressed Christian, a selfish Christian, I think those would all be accurate terms for someone who actually had those impulses or behaviors active in their lives, because those terms are not positive. But if somebody put a positive spin onto those terms, then I think that they would be wrong. So if an obese Christian said, I'm a Christian food-enjoying overindulger, I'd say, well, that's a rather inaccurate way of describing gluttony. You see what I mean?
Joe Dallas, as always, insightful. And the article that he wrote is an absolute must. It is a brilliant article in which he talks about the violation of binary boundaries. He talks about the violation of safety, the violation of religious liberty, all in the context of bathroom bills and basic beliefs. In North Carolina, we are being hammered financially as a result of a stand that has been taken by our governor. And the pressure is so enormous that a lot of these things get walked back. And it's critical that Christians have their voices heard. And to have your voice heard, it is critical that you have the ability to communicate the truth with gentleness and with respect. As mentioned earlier on in the broadcast, Joe's going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls. Many of you hanging in, calling. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. In the next hour, we'll try to get to as many of your calls as we possibly can. As always, we're so thankful to Joe for joining us on the broadcast. He is the Program Director of Genesis Counseling in Tustin, California. If you want to find out more about Joe, check him out on the web at equip.org. Again, we are asking people to stand with us, shoulder to shoulder, in the battle for life and truth. Look forward to your partnership for time and for eternity.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Life and truth are under assault in America in ways that would have been impossible to imagine a few decades ago. Yet Hank Hanegraaff observes the fundamental problem is not pagans doing what comes naturally to fallen human nature. Our culture is in free fall because Christians have failed to think and to live Christianly. Stand with Hank and the Christian Research Institute during June to end the year in fiscal strength and ensure that CRI's arsenal of Bible Answer Man broadcasts, Christian Research Journal articles, e-truths, and other resources remain globally accessible. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing outreaches. As our thanks, we'll rush to you the new issue of the Christian Research Journal, featuring cutting-edge articles including Joe Dallas's Of Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip
and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.